Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, May 4th, a video released of Pope Francis, the late Pope Francis, encouraging young people to keep their eyes on Christ. The Pope's final gift to Gaza will be his Pope Mobile, and the Church continues to prepare for the upcoming conclave. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Over 100,000 young people gathered in Mexico City this weekend for the Vite Fest, a celebration of life, peace, and reconciliation. The late Pope Francis recorded a video message in mid-2024 that was broadcast on Sunday at the Zocalo Square, where the event took place. As Devin Watkins reports, the late Pope invited young people to create movement within the Church and to fix their eyes on Christ. Devin Watkins report.
More than 100,000 young people gathered on Sunday in Zocalo Square of Mexico City, the most iconic square in the Latin American nation. They came together for the Vite Fest, a festival celebrating life, so they could commit themselves to promoting peace and reconciliation around the world. The Vite Fest was organized by the Vite Global Foundation and featured an evocative artistic performance. The young Mexican attendees received a surprise from the late Pope Francis, who had recorded a video in mid-2024 specifically for this festival. I know that you are gathered in the Zocalo, said the late Pope, and you are gathered to receive and to give. He thanked the young people for their desire to take action to make the world a better place. You are not gathered to stay silent, but to stir things up, to create some movement with joy, to receive a message, and to share a message, said the late Argentine Pope. He noted that there are many ugly things in this world, saying we must work to fix them. Yet, he added, there are also many beautiful things, and that's you who are gathered there because you want something more. The late Pope Francis went on to recall that the Church is celebrating the Jubilee of Hope. He said the young people in Mexico City's main square bore witness to hope by wearing a white handkerchief. The white cloth serves as a symbol of the vibrancy of youth and the shared desire to recover the ability to dialogue in order to build a more fraternal and cohesive society. Never forget that white bandana you see. That white bandana is always the hope of all sinners, each of us, said Pope Francis. May God bless you, and may Our Lady of Guadalupe take care of you, he said. And the late Pope signed off with his characteristic, and don't forget to pray for me. I'm Devin Watkins.
In other news, Pope Francis, before he died, made a final gift to the suffering people of Gaza. He asked that his Pope Mobile, the vehicle that transported him among the throngs of pilgrims and visitors, be converted into a mobile health clinic for the children of Gaza. Thaddeus Jones tells us more in this report.
Pope Francis' legacy of peace continues to shine in our conflict-ridden world. The closeness he showed to the most vulnerable during his earthly mission is manifesting even after his death. And this most recent surprise is no exception. It's his Pope Mobile, the very vehicle from which he waved and was close to millions of faithful all around the world, is being transformed into a mobile health unit for the children of Gaza. It was his final wish for the people to whom he'd shown such solidarity throughout his pontificate, especially in the last years. And in his final months, the Pope entrusted the initiative to Caritas Jerusalem, seeking to respond to the dire humanitarian crisis in Gaza, where nearly 1 million children had been displaced. Amid the horrific war, collapsed infrastructure, a mutilated healthcare system, and lack of education, children are the first to pay the price, with starvation, infections, and other preventable conditions putting their lives at risk. Pope Francis often stated that children are not numbers. They are faces, names, stories, and each one is sacred. And with this final gift, his words have become action. The repurposed Pope Mobile is being outfitted with equipment for diagnosis, examination, and treatment, including rapid tests for infections, diagnostic instruments, vaccines, suture kits, and other life-saving supplies. It will be staffed by doctors and medics, reaching children in the most isolated corners of Gaza once humanitarian access to the Strip is restored. In a press release, Peter Brun, Secretary General of Caritas Sweden, wrote that with the vehicle, we will be able to reach children who today have no access to health care, children who are injured and malnourished. This is a concrete life-saving intervention at a time when the health system in Gaza has almost completely collapsed, he added. Caritas Jerusalem, which has long served Gaza's communities under difficult conditions, is leading the on-the-ground effort. With over 100 staff members committed to healthcare delivery, the organization is now building on the Pope's legacy of compassion and strength, whilst bringing his final blessing to the people of Gaza. This vehicle represents the love, care, and closeness shown by His Holiness for the most vulnerable, which he expressed throughout the crisis, said Anton Asfar, Secretary General of Caritas Jerusalem. In photos released from the project, the vehicle appears to have been carefully adapted to fit the needs of those most in need. But it's not just a vehicle, Brun said. It's a message that the world has not forgotten about the children in Gaza. And it's also an invitation that the rest of the world remember, too. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Meanwhile, turning to the events in the Middle East, a missile fired from Yemen landed near the main terminal of Israel's Ben Gurion Airport on Sunday morning. Let's listen to this report from Nathan Morley.
Footage posted online appears to show drivers pulling over and taking cover as the projectile struck, sending up a plume of black smoke near the airport, which is located just outside Tel Aviv. The video, though, has not been independently verified. Israeli media, however, reported that four people were injured in the blast, with two others hurt whilst heading to a shelter. The Israeli Defense Minister, Israel Katz, said in a statement that anyone that hit Israel would be hit back seven times harder. The Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, was expected to meet with ministers and defense officials later on Sunday to discuss a possible response. That's according to Israel's Channel 12 News. The Houthis, an Iran-backed rebel group in Yemen, have often fired missiles at Israel in solidarity with Hamas in Gaza. It's rare for one to penetrate Israel's advanced air defenses, though. Meanwhile, humanitarian conditions in Gaza continue to deteriorate. On March the 2nd, Israel shut all crossings into the enclave, preventing goods, including food, fuel, and medicine, from entering. 2 weeks later, it resumed military operations, ending a two-month ceasefire with Hamas. Israeli officials said the restrictions were intended to pressure Hamas into releasing hostages that are still being held. The United Nations World Food Programme and UNRWA, the Agency for Palestinian Refugees, recently announced that they'd exhausted their food supplies. Amid all this, thousands of Israeli reservists from across the military have signed letters urging Prime Minister Netanyahu to end the fighting and prioritise securing the release of the remaining 59 hostages. 18 months ago, public sentiment in Israel largely supported the war's goals, defeating Hamas and bringing the hostages home. The January ceasefire, which saw more than 30 hostages returned, briefly raised hopes that the conflict might soon end. But those hopes diminished in mid-March when Israel resumed its military operations, breaking the agreed ceasefire. International pressure on Israel to lift its blockade has intensified, with warnings that mass starvation could be imminent. Legal experts have said that deliberately depriving civilians of food may even constitute a war crime. Separately, dozens of journalists held a protest in southern Gaza's Khan Yunis over the weekend, urging the international community to protect media workers from repeated Israeli targeting. The protest was organized by the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate to mark World Press Freedom Day. Since the Gaza war began on October the 7th, 2023, 212 journalists have been killed in the conflict and 409 injured. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Among the many appeals that Pope Francis used to make were, of course, also those for martyred Ukraine. So let's listen to this report of Stefan Voss about the latest.
Between burning buildings and debris, terrified residents are being brought to an ambulance for urgent medical attention. A woman sitting in an ambulance can be seen visibly upset. There are scores of victims here in Kharkiv,
one of several locations that authorities say have come under Russian attacks in recent days. Mayor Ihor Terekov said strikes occurred over the weekend in 12 locations in four central districts of the city. The city has become a repeated target of Russian airstrikes, lying just 30 kilometers or 19 miles from the country's northeastern border. Moscow has denied targeting civilian sites, but authorities and reporters suggest otherwise. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky denounced the attacks, saying Russia strikes dwellings when Ukrainians are in their homes, when they are putting their children to bed. Several people were also injured in a Russian joint drone and artillery attack on localities east of Nikopol in the southeastern Dnipropetrovsk region. In southern Ukraine's Kherson region, a village resident reportedly died when a fallen drone exploded as he was trying to carry it away from a house. However, Russian residents suffer too. In Russia, the Black Sea coast of the Krasnodar region was struck in what local sources called a massive attack from Ukrainian forces. Three apartment blocks in the port area of Novorossiysk were damaged, reportedly injuring numerous people, including children. At the same time, Russia's defense ministry stated Friday that its forces were continuing to create a security strip in border areas of northern Ukraine's Sumy region after driving Ukrainian troops out of the Kursk region just across the border in western Russia. The latest attacks have underscored international calls for peace. Late Pope Francis often prayed for peace and repeatedly called for an end to the suffering in a war that is thought to have killed and injured more than 1 million people. The United States Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said Washington hasn't given up hope yet that peace can be established in Ukraine.
Today's agreement signals clearly to Russian leadership that the Trump administration is committed to a peace process centered on a free, sovereign, and prosperous Ukraine over the long term.
Moscow has pledged to introduce a three-day ceasefire from May 7th through May 9th. But as they watch their homes burn, residents here in Kharkiv and other cities are hoping for permanent peace to end Europe's deadliest conflict in decades. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And certainly keep in mind that today is the ninth of the nine masses of mourning for the late Pope Francis, with the mass this evening inside St. Peter's Basilica being presided over by Cardinal Dominique Mamberti, the College of Cardinals proto-deacon. It will be the final of the masses of mourning for the late Holy Father as we approach the upcoming conclave that will begin with the mass pro eligendo Romano Pontifice on Wednesday morning, followed by the beginning, the first casting of the ballots on Wednesday afternoon. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other updates, visit our web portal or social media. Many thanks to our sound engineer in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.